Spirit Blade Underground, episode 287. Warning, access restricted. Please submit to DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Audio file encryption processing. Transmission decoded. Begin playback for System 5. Spirit Blade Underground, episode 287.
Hello and welcome to the monitor room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast, a biblical examination and celebration of geekery and geek entertainment, as well as the official podcast of Christian Geek Central, a website and very unique community you're invited to check out at ChristianGeekCentral.com. I'm Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions, where we produce entertainment and resources designed to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks like you and me to live more and more for Christ. For more information and free goodies, check out spiritblade.net. Well, I hope you guys are having a good week. I've been having a pretty good week. As I think I mentioned earlier in maybe one or two podcasts ago, my sister and her husband, who are serving as missionaries in Rwanda for the next 2 years. They started that mission period that term of service back in May. They're in town for a visit right now. The next time we see them all will probably be about a year from now. So I've basically been writing off work and spending as much time with them as possible. Last night, we just completed our viewing of all five Twilight movies using Riff Tracks. If you haven't heard of Riff Tracks, it's the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000. They're still doing their thing, except they're doing it with like real theatrical release movies that you know and love. And you can check out what they're doing at rifftracks.com. Really funny stuff if you like Mystery Science Theater 3000, and they can be surprisingly funny with, you know, even good movies that I enjoy. I just watched all this riff tracking got me in the mood for some more, so I watched again a riff track I had for the first Matrix movie, which, man, was really good. Their riff track and the movie, of course, was great. That was a lot of fun. So anyway, we carved out on four different nights. We got through all five of the Twilight movies, and holy crap, those were funny. Those were really funny. I've never reviewed those movies, and guys, I don't plan to. But oh my gosh, those are some terrible films. Those are really poorly made. I haven't read. If you're a Twilight fan, I'm not knocking, you know, your love of Twilight. It's definitely not my thing. And I really don't think the movies are well made. I mean, I don't want to offend any Twilight fans, but I really don't think those movies are well made. And on a personal level, it's like, oh my gosh, the Sunday schoolification of vampires is, I mean, well, not even that. It's like it's you strip down everything that's cool about vampires, and then you also add in all this, like, teenage drama and validation of teenage drama and foolish ways that teenagers think, you know. Oh my gosh, there's so many things wrong with those movies. Add to that the fact that nothing happens. Nothing happens. Anyway, Those are worth watching. I'd never seen the movies before, and I watched them with the riff tracks. So my sister, who had seen all the movies, was standing by to watch to answer any questions I might have, which were very few. But they're worth watching to some degree with the riff track. I wouldn't say, you know, to check them out without that, but anyway, blah 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 blah. The reason I brought all this up to begin with was just to remind you guys that I am kind of like, it's, I guess I should have been calling this off grid, but I haven't been. I've still been trying to keep up with emails and stuff like that. What I haven't really been doing is creating content. I've had content that you guys have submitted, some interviews that I've done, and so I'm able to cobble together podcasts the last couple episodes and this one as well. You'll notice In Search of Truth is missing again this week. I just haven't had time. Whenever I've had the opportunity to choose between work or time with my sister and her family that are in town, well, you can guess which one I'm choosing. But they're going to be gone on Monday, and then I'll start getting back into my normal routine. Next weekend, I'm out of town again. I leave Thursday night, and I'm having my annual PenningCon weekend, which is a weekend where I hang out with my friend Mark Pennington in California, and we have a massive, crazy board gaming marathon weekend. So that's going to be next weekend. So I still won't be quite back to the normal routine. I'll be getting into it this coming next week. But so all that to say, I apologize that In Search of Truth has kind of been missing. I am preparing a special themed In Search of Truth for next week, so you can count on it next week. And then hopefully we'll be back on track with the regular segments the week after. So hopefully this podcast will be the last podcast for a while that does not have an In Search of Truth segment. Also, if I've been a little bit slow to get back to you with emails and stuff like that, I do apologize for that. That's family stuff is just what's going on right now. But I have enjoyed getting on the forums whenever possible and trying to keep up. But again, I do apologize if I've seemed a little bit slow or less connected with you guys in the last couple of weeks. That should be turning around and getting back into the normal groove of things very soon. All right, let's talk about today's show. Part two of my interview with Derek White, the Geek Preacher, which I hope you guys will enjoy. And we've also got a retro review of the classic sci-fi movie Westworld. All right, let's get to it.
The gaming convention in Memphis wasn't that far away, so we got to kind of go and be alone and spend some time together, which was really great. And it was about the same weekend as the Lake Geneva Gaming Convention. So I did not get to go. And it kind of broke my heart because I had a personal invite from Gary Gygax. I took that as just, wow, man, Gary invited me to come. And 2 months later, he passed away.
Hmm.
And I found out from a friend of mine who's in the gaming industry, who shared with me, you know, when it hit the internet, boom, it just slammed me. And the next day, I created geekpreacher.com.
Hmm.
Because I did it, honestly, to honor Gary Gygax, his faith, because he had influenced me on two ends of my life. When I picked up the Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide when I was 13 years old, it opened up a world of literature to me.
Hmm.
There's a thing called Appendix N in the original first edition Dungeon Master's Guide, which is a geek extravaganza, a geek fest of all of the great fantasy books to read.
Hmm.
And so it had opened up that world of fantasy to me in an amazing way. And then to bookend my life on the other side as a person of faith, to realize this man is a person of faith, is someone who told me he was trusting in Jesus to forgive him.
Hmm.
To see that bookend in my own life, I said, you know what? Geeks need a preacher too. Because I'd seen other people trying to minister to geeks while I was at Gen Con in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen some of the other Christians, and it seemed like everything they did was, I know this is going to sound bad, but it seemed like they were more Christian than they were geek.
Mm.
It didn't seem like they were geek Christians.
Yeah.
It seems like they were Christians who used geek as an ulterior motive to share their Christianity.
Mm.
Instead of it just being an outgrowth of who you are.
Yeah.
Because, see, I think every true Christian is a geek. One way or another, you're a geek. And so, you know, geeks are the outsiders, the misfits. And when you really take this call to follow Jesus seriously, you're an outsider. You're a misfit. Hmm. When you seriously follow Jesus, people think something strange, weird, and odd about you.
Hmm.
That's the definition of being a geek, a nerd, a dork, a dweeb, whatever. There's something weird and odd about you. And that's what it means to follow Jesus, to be strange, to be odd, to be different. And so when So my life had been bookended at that point. And I said, you know what? Geeks need a preacher too. They need a preacher. And here is just, it just hit me. And I said, I'll just see what happens. And I just put up the website. I started it. I changed a lot of my login names online on some of the geek sites I'd been on. This is back when message boards were still really big. So a lot of the gaming message boards I was on, I changed my name. Because I also had met a number of preachers and ministers, vocational ministers, full-time ministers, who were geeky, but they had hid it from their congregations. They'd hid it from other people. And I said, no, that's not who I'm going to be.
Yeah,
I need to be out there and be up front. You know, somebody has to stand up for and say, look, I am a geek and I'm a preacher. I am a real pastor. I actually pastor a congregation. And in doing that, I did that in a way to honor the effect Gary Gygax had on my life on both ends. So I give him a lot of credit for that. I also did it to honor my friends in the Christian Gamers Guild who really helped me through that journey over the decade that I went through those struggles of reconciling my geekiness and my faith. And so it was a way of honoring all those people who had touched my life at one point or another.
So now this is you've got the website and you teach at the that you preach at the worship service at Gen Con each year since 2007. And I mentioned before we started recording that I actually remember you from when I went to that worship service in 2008. That was a real treat. So is your ministry as far as to geeks primarily your website and then your activity at conventions?
Yes, a lot of it is. I get a lot of people through my website at geekpreacher.com. Some people contact me there. More and more people are contacting me through my Facebook page, which you can find me on Facebook as Geek Preacher, the Geek Preacher on Facebook. So I get a lot of contacts through my Facebook page, through YouTube videos, Geek Preacher on YouTube. I get a lot of contacts that way as well. I've even done some interviews with some people in the industry. I did that a few years back when I had the time to do that at Gen Con. So I do minister a lot to a lot of geeks that way. I've been really fortunate to also have a lot of friends in the gaming industry. I've made a number of friends over the years just being there on convention scenes. So I get a lot of calls from people who are in the industry who are just going through struggles and ask for prayer. Just want a pastor to talk to, someone to just say, hey, some of them are Christians, some of them are agnostic atheists, and some are not sure what they are. You know, they don't have a label. Some are of other faiths, and they just want somebody they know they can trust and talk to.
Sure.
And so yeah, I do minister a lot through the website, through Facebook. I do minister a lot at conventions. I make myself available when I can go to a convention, just to be there for people to talk to and be a friend to them. So that's where a lot of the geek ministry comes from. I also do that on the local church level and in the communities in which I live. You know, I'll find geeks in churches I pastor who will come up to me and say, hey man, you know, I really don't share this with people, but here's what I really love. Here are my really geeky hobbies. And we begin to talk and communicate that way as well. So, yeah, pretty much every area of my life is about geek ministry. And, you know, it's that, yeah, I don't know how else to explain it, but everything I do is just about being a geek and a preacher. Well, I don't know how to live any other way anymore.
Well, I appreciate your uncompartmentalized approach to your life, your faith, your geekery, and all that. And I commend you for giving yourself specifically to the ministry of geeks, especially when you've got your own congregation just in general that you're pastoring. So just on behalf of geeks and on behalf of the kingdom, I want to thank you for just the work that you're giving yourself to. And the website, one more time, is geekpreacher.com?
Geekpreacher.com, .org, or .net.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I hope a lot of people go check out and see what you're doing, because I think it's really worthwhile. Derek, thank you again so much for making time to talk to me.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Every day, somewhere in the world, a movie is slipping through the cracks. Every year, hundreds are lost and forgotten. But one man refuses to let them fall into darkness. One man risks everything to bring them back into the light. That man is Ken from Honolulu.
This is a movie review by Ken from Honolulu. This review contains spoilers. The movie is Westworld, made in 1973, directed by and written by Michael Crichton, starring Yul Brynner as the gunslinger, Richard Benjamin as Peter Martin, James Brolin as John Blaine. Synopsis. An amusement park for rich vacationers. The park provides its customers a way to live out their fantasies through the use of robots that provide anything they want. Two of the vacationers choose a Wild West adventure. However, after a computer breakdown, they find that they are now being stalked by a rogue gunslinger robot. Review. I give this movie a 7 out of 10 for quality, and a 7 out of 10 for relevance. The quality is fairly decent. It was, at its time, it was a high-budget film using A-list actors of their time. It was Michael Crichton's first film as a director, his directing debut. Michael Crichton did Jurassic Park, Andromeda Strain, a few others. So it shows the progression of his ability from this film down along the line to the other films that he's written and directed. It's an interesting film. It's fun to watch. There is no cussing. And the one sex scene that they have is two adults. You see them from the shoulder up, laying in bed, rolling around, doing some oohing and aahing. And that's about all you see and hear. For the relevant score, when this movie came out, I was in my mid-teens. And so a bunch of us from church went to see it. And afterwards, a couple of days afterwards, we had a talk about it, about whether it's a sin, whether you have a sex with a robot thinking that it's human, or whether you're actually killing a robot, but in your heart you know that it's a robot, but in your mind you're thinking that it's a human. And just because you're on vacation, do you throw your morals out the window? So there's a lot to discuss, actually. The movie has no CG in it. It's all practical effects, and the effects are pretty good, except for one part, which is why I give it a 7. When people get shot, the blood looks like red paint. I mean, just like red paint. So it's kind of hokey. But Michael Crichton got it right when, for the death scenes, when people get shot in this movie, they get stunned. And they, unless it's a kill shot, they turn around and they'll come straight back at you, just as in real life. In real life, when people get shot, they don't go flying across the room. They just kind of get stunned. So he got that right, and it's pretty interesting. The practical effects are really good. At one point, the gunslinger gets acid thrown on his face, and his face starts melting. Well, they had to come up with something, so what they did was they put powdered Alka-Seltzer in heavy makeup, and they put it on Yul Brynner's face, and so that when he gets splashed with what's supposed to be acid, but it's really water, his face melts and foams and bubbles. It's really good. It's really good special effects. It's one of the reasons that I like these older movies, because they have to use their imagination to come up with good things that look real, because practical effects are real, and they're real effects. So it's pretty interesting. If you've never seen Yul Brynner act, I recommend that you go see The King and I, The Invitation to a Gunfighter, and one of his best, which is Magnificent Seven. and you'll see a complete range of his acting abilities. He's a very, very good actor. In Westworld, they used the same costume that they used in Magnificent Seven as the gunslinger. They don't name him in the movie. They just call him the gunslinger. So it's kind of interesting that they bring these two together. In my humble opinion, Yul Brynner makes a very, very scary robot. At this point in history, they were not using Android regularly for anthropomorphic robots. They called them robots at this point. So throughout the film, you'll hear them called robots, not androids. When Yul Brynner faces down two guys, and he's got this half smile on his face, sort of like, I know something you don't, and then he says, draw. And he kills a guy, and then he gets a full smile on his face, which is, now you know what I know, which is, I'm not held back from killing human beings, and you're the next. And he starts chasing the guy down. To me, that is scarier than seeing a guy drive through a police window. You will see a lot of themes from Jurassic Park in this film. You'll also see a lot of themes that Jaws took and, well, definitely Terminator took from this film. So it's the parent of a lot of different films. The movie does not only take place in Westworld, but it also has a medieval world. You go into medieval world for a little bit. There are three worlds. There's Westworld, medieval world, and Roman world. It takes place mostly in Westworld because that's what the film is about. But in medieval world, you also get to see where things start breaking down and robots start reacting badly to humans. One thing I like about these old sci-fi films is to see what they got right and what they got wrong. They are talking about computer viruses in 1973. That was unheard of, almost. I mean, there was a few. At that time, they were still using punch cards and data entry people to get that information into the computers. That's how you programmed your computer, was through a punch card. In the movie, the computer that you see in the background, that doesn't even have as much computer power as your first flip phone, let alone your smartphone. So it's interesting to see. Also in the hovercraft, when they're going to Westworld, if you look in the background, you'll see a flat screen TV monitor type deal. And that's in 1973. So things came along. They were coming along then, and they had an idea that these things were going to come along, but they got that right. It's just interesting to see how they talk about the computer virus. In the movie, people were saying, no, you know, this will never happen. This just can't happen. But it does, and it did. And that's what made things start going wrong. It's interesting when you're watching the film, as you see things start to go wrong, and they're just little things at first. Just little things, and then everything goes wrong all of a sudden. And it kind of takes you by surprise as you're watching it. There is no character development because it's about people who are throwing their morals out the window because they went on vacation. They give just a little bit of background of one character, but no background for any of the others. So it's not a heavily character-driven film. One of the things about the throwing your morals out the window, they go to a saloon that is also a whorehouse. And as they're going upstairs with two of the prostitutes, a gunfight starts outside. And one of the guys says, well, you know, should we go upstairs with these girls and have sex? Or should we go outside into the gunfight and get involved in that so we can kill people? So, you know, that's one of the things that, that's why we had a relevant score of 7, because there is a lot to talk about in this film. Of course, the acting is top-notch in this film, because these are the highest-paid actors of their time. The one guy is getting chased by this robot, And you feel his fear. You feel his frustration. You feel the adrenaline pumping through him, trying to get away from this android robot that can track him through higher auditory senses and much better sight and different spectrums in the infrared and all of that range. Also, when Yul Brynner is looking for this guy and he knows that the guy is right there in front of him, but he can't see him because the guy is hiding behind a torch. Yul Brynner's using infrared and he's hiding behind a torch, and he has this, and Yul Brynner has this look on his face like, I'm so confused. This guy was right here just a second ago. Where is he now? I can't see him. So the acting is just really, really good, and it's fun. All in all, it's a good movie. It's not one that I would recommend for little kids, only because of its violent themes. But for, say, over 10 years old, it's no big deal. They're going to see much, much more on just regular broadcast TV, which is a testament to today's society. And they're also going to immediately see that the blood is more like paint than it is real blood, or at least what they think of real blood, because of all the blood they've seen on TV nowadays. Again, there is no real sex. There is no cussing. It's a fun, interesting movie to watch, one that I recommend. Thank you for listening to this review. This has been Ken from Honolulu. Aloha.
Incoming transmission.
Hey, Pater, this is Nathan Norman, and this is a comic intervention. Yeah, I read and listened to your... I don't even know what to say. I mean, look at your own words. I haven't given up on comics completely, but I'm taking a break from DC for a while to catch up on Ultimate Marvel trade paperbacks and maybe an old Vertigo series in back issues. Meanwhile, I've got a subscription to Previews to help me keep a finger on the pulse of the DCU, assuming that it doesn't flatline. I mean, can you hear yourself, Pater? Can you really hear yourself? I mean, this is the first step in giving up comics completely. I know you're saying you're not, but I don't know. There's so many good titles out there, and it doesn't have to be DC. Animal Man is good in DC, Swamp Thing's great, the new Green Lantern stuff is actually phenomenal. I don't know, Pater. I'm just really concerned for you, and the rest of us here at Christian Geek Central are concerned too, so this is a comic intervention. We're praying for you. We're hoping that maybe you'll see the light, and that really in this new direction you're taking, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting those around you. Can't you see that? Can't you see that you're pulling us all apart?
Don't you judge me. Don't you sit there with your perfect love of comic books like you know everything. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. Jeez, this is ridiculous. You guys, just leave me alone. This is none of your business. I was gonna like, you know, conjure up all this emotional energy and like cry and do it, but I'm too tired, so I went the angry route instead. But Nathan, thank you for your concern. All right, let's see here. What do I got next? Where's my notes? Oh yeah. I want to thank Derek White once again for talking to me. I hope you guys will check out his ministry. It's a very unique one. And I also want to thank Ken from Honolulu for another great review. Always love it when you send those in, Ken. So thank you very much. Feedback, input, guys. I want to hear from you, too. Request a review. Give me your thoughts, questions, whatever. It all helps me make the show better. Go to spiritblade.net/underground to record a message with your computer. Send me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net. And I still don't have a phone number. If you guys want a phone number, let me know. Otherwise, it really is really easy to go to spiritblade.net/underground. Just click on that tab and leave a message with your computer. Could not be much easier than that.
Guys, if you enjoy the reviews that you hear on this show, you can help support this podcast by stopping by ChristianGeekCentral.com before you buy something in Amazon.com. Most of our reviews posted there include an Amazon.com purchase link. If you click through there first, well, then we'll get a little cut of what you pay Amazon, whether you buy new or used from them. It doesn't increase the cost for you at all, and it helps support Spirit Blade Productions and Christian Geek Central. So stop by ChristianGeekCentral.com and do a quick search to see if that geek treasure you've got your eye on can maybe help us do bigger and better things in the future. All right, I want to remind you guys again about the open roles at CGC, at Christian Geek Central. If you go to ChristianGeekCentral.com, click on About CGC, and scroll down to How You Can Get Involved, you can learn about the various ways that you can get involved with Christian Geek Central to help us move into the future. And there are roles described there that, you know, I particularly came to my mind, like, oh man, we could really use this. But there's stuff there that I haven't thought about, and I've even left a job description called We Can So, which is a Three Amigos reference, where basically I'm just interested in allowing you to bring to the table what you do best and finding out a way to plug you in. So if you're interested in helping Christian Geek Central, if you really get excited about the kinds of stuff that I'm doing on this podcast, that we're doing at Christian Geek Central, and you want to get behind that in some way, come over and see if there's maybe a role that you can get plugged into, or think about, you know, just offering it up an idea of your own, a way that you could help, so we can move this thing forward, do bigger and better things, reach more people. So anyway, there's that. If you want to submit a review or article for publication on Christian Geek Central, whether it's original material or something you've already posted elsewhere, just shoot me an email at paeter@spiritblade.net. Be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Christian Geek Central Network, such as the Strangers and Aliens podcast, the Theology Gaming podcast, and the Untold podcast. This month on the Untold podcast, the voices won't stop, and they want something horrible, in this R-rated episode by horror writer Jess Hanna. For more information about the CGC Network, visit ChristianGeekCentral.com. Now, next week, if God wants it to happen, I've got planned a review of Diablo 3 for the Xbox 360, as well as a retro review of the sci-fi horror flick Event Horizon, the scariest film I have ever viewed. And then we're also going to take a look at what the Bible says about hell. It's a little bit of a hell-themed episode, I guess, kind of, you know, prepping for Halloween or something. It just started falling together that way. I'm not really usually good at putting together and planning to do themed episodes, but I saw kind of the stars aligning for this to happen. Seemed like good timing. So, and I've just learned some things over the last 2 or 3 years as I've looked at the concept of hell as it's presented in Scripture, and I'm looking forward to sharing what I've learned with you guys. You might be surprised at what Scripture says and does not say about hell. So stay tuned, and hopefully we'll have that for you next week. Till then, thanks so much for making time for this show. I hope you have a great week, and that you'll join me next time here on the Spirit Blade Underground podcast as we continue to geek out and seek the truth.
The Spirit Blade Underground is a community-supported endeavor of Spirit Blade Productions. This podcast is produced by Peter Frenson with support from the Christian Geek Central community at ChristianGeekCentral.com. For information about the latest entertainment and resources from Spirit Blade Productions, visit SpiritBlade.net. Thank you for listening.